What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Kim Petras, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Yay, hi, thanks for having me.
I am so happy you came in your sparkle clogs.
Hell yeah.
You showed up.
Bust them out.
How did you pick your outfit today?
I went off the clogs. They really dictated everything else. I don't know, just kind of felt like witchy. I've been in my witchy vibe.
You need to confirm for everyone though, are they comfortable?
Yeah, they're comfortable. Like, I would say like pool slide vibes.
Pool slide.
Just a little heavier.
But you're not going to like run in those.
No. Even though I probably could and should.
I just have to say, I'm so happy for you. You are everywhere right now in the best way. Your music, your personality, like everything you're doing is just fucking incredible.
Oh my God,
I'm so excited
for
you. You won a Grammy. Hi.
Yeah.
Like, no big fucking deal. How did it feel to win a Grammy and how did you celebrate?
It felt insane. It felt like something that just shouldn't happen to me. Honestly, you know, I'm such a like... You know, I've just been performing in like gay clubs for so long and been like in that scene, and like Sam really changed my life with that song. And I mean, I went to Diplo's party after, so that was really, really fun. Diplo's fun.
He's fun.
I'm a big fan. And yeah, I just like saw my friends and we were all just like in disbelief, just like, oh my God, this really just happened. And I'm so grateful. I got to like shout out Sophie on stage, and that I remembered that too. Because like I could have just blacked out, and like I thanked my mom, and so it was just like such a like big moment that I didn't think would happen. Ever since then, it's just been like a lot less sleep. Like, it's definitely like post Grammy, like it's just like kept going and kept getting more and more and more, but I like it, so it's cool.
Dude, that is so crazy to think about, going on stage and accepting a Grammy and just being like, I hope I can get my words out.
I know.
Like, I hope I say one thing that, like, did you have a full speech planned or no?
I did, but I, like, 5 minutes before, like, our category was on, I just, like, put it away and I was like, just speak from, like, this moment and from your heart. And, yeah, because Sam really put me in spot. Sam was like, I'm going to have you accept the Grammy if we win it, just because I've done it and like blah, blah, blah. I'm like, please, no, don't do that to me. Like, I was like, please. But I'm so grateful now that I like did it. And like, I'm such a shy and nervous person in my life, which you wouldn't think from my music, because my music is kind of where I live out my craziest ideas and fantasies. But I'm a pretty shy person. And so, yeah, that was wild. And I remember like looking at like J-Lo's face and like Jay-Z sitting there and just being like, I can't believe this.
That's so interesting. I feel like now, having sat down with people in the music industry, like we were talking about Anita.
Yes.
How Anita is the best. Shout out. We love you, Anita.
Shout out.
But Anita also kind of talked to me about that, of like, she's actually really shy. And then like she has this alter ego that she infuses into her music. And it's just the way that she's able to like put her, I guess, side like personality that she wants to be into Anita the character.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Do you feel like that's similar with you?
1,000,000%. I feel like that's always just been like my saving grace in life from like my shyness. It's just when I'm on stage, it's like something clicks and I'm a completely different person. And I just feel in line with everything. I don't overthink myself. I feel like confident, because like the one thing that I know how to do is perform and write songs. Like, that's always been like everything else I'm like horrible at, and just like can't fit. Like, I can't even cook. Like, I can't do shit. You know?
I love how you're but, like, I can't cook, but I just want a fucking Grammy, bitch.
That's right.
It's okay, Kim. It's okay. I think we would all take that over being able to cook.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to
waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required. This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. I am a certified rom-com addict. I love watching movies and shows that are funny and cute and romantic and make me want to cuddle up to Matt, okay? And Prime Video feeds that addiction. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover, and Maya Erskine kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, and really love to rip each other's clothes off. Dare I say, better than the original. My Lady Jane, a hilarious, heartwarming, and sometimes steamy historical reimagining of the story of Lady Jane Grey. You can watch both of these and a whole lot more on Prime Video. You can also indulge in even more rom-com classics by adding channels like Max, Stars, and Paramount Plus. Prime Video, find your favorite flirty rom-coms all in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You also were recently on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit. Growing up, did you ever picture yourself being on the cover of a magazine?
No. I was in my school, like, I remember being like such a like freak to everyone, because like since I was a kid, it was like very public that I was trans, and like I was very open about it. And so I was just kind of this like nerdy, weird kid, and like no one thought I was like pretty or sexy or anything like that. And so I doubted being able to do that stuff, and especially being like in a swimsuit was like, I definitely had like a nervous breakdown like the day before. I'm like, can I like pose in a swimsuit and be that? Because I just, I didn't think I could. But then there's like amazing people and photographers and like the whole Sports Illustrated team who just like hyped me up and were just like, you know, making me feel so good about myself that it like all just like happen. Like they really make me feel like I belong on the cover, and it makes me want to cry, because like I'm such a person who just like doesn't think of themselves as like you know, all that.
When you say that when you were younger that you're like people never saw me as like sexy and cute, when do you think you started to actually, for yourself, did you always feel sexy and cute? You're like, fuck you guys, like I'm sexy and cute, or did it come at a certain point?
I mean, I'm still waiting. Honestly, I think what gave me a lot of confidence and what built my confidence was becoming an artist and becoming a writer and going on stages and stuff like that. And once I kind of found my like friends and gay people in general who like celebrated me for who I am, and that whole, you know, I think once I started going to gay clubs, I was like, I belong here, and I get the music, I get the people, I get what it's all about. So I think that's when I started to like myself and all of that. But I think in general, like it's never like my goal to be like sexy or to be hot. It's always like I want to bring like a little bit of a like weirdness to things, because I've always felt like I was kind of just like on the outside of things. And I find, I don't know, I find more happiness in looking a little off and a little weirder than just looking hot.
I totally get what you're saying. Sometimes I actually think it's way better to feel like you're a little outside, because then you're also just going based off of your own parameters of like, half the time we're just trying to be like other people. That's so fucking boring. Like, I don't want to be like anyone else. But I also think I appreciate you saying like, I'm still working on it. No one even, you can look at Kim online and be like, she's got it all together. She's winning Grammys. She's hanging out with celebrities. It's like, but we're all still working on ourselves in some capacity till the day it's over. So it's like,
for sure, you have to. You have to.
Wait, and you're from Germany, right?
I'm from Germany, yeah.
Can you tell me in German how to say welcome to Call Her Daddy?
Willkommen zu Nancy Vater.
Oh.
German is the unsexiest language of all time. I feel like that's why I'm also like, I've just always been like a little more the weird German immigrant, you know, in America, because like it's just not a sexy language. I have a song on my spooky Halloween album where I sing German, and it comes in handy when you want to sound scary.
Oh,
because most people are really scared when us, like when I yell at you in German, you're scared.
Wait, can you yell at me in German? Like, Alex, fuck off, get your shit together, ask me better questions.
Alex, fick dich, gib mir bessere Fragen. Hallo, wie?
Oh my god.
Alex, give me bessere Fragen. Right? It's scary. Wait,
that is scary. But Kim, I do kind of feel like you made it kind of sexy. Like, if, like I think you have a little, you got something.
Dankeschön.
Oh, okay. I'm going to learn how to say all that by the end of this. Okay, so you talk about how you started your career in gay clubs all around the country.
Yeah.
Clearly that was such a huge part of your coming up and in this industry. How did people in the clubs initially treat you? And like, how did they like you and your personality and your vibe and your music?
I think they just really immediately kind of got it. I mean, I remember like my first few years, like going back and forth from New York and just kind of being a club kid and having my first few songs out and just like performing on a bar stool or like a table, you know, like, yes. And people were just like, I get this and I understand this. And just like, since I'm a part of the community, it's like, it makes sense. Yeah. But they were the first, like, all the little Bushwick kids, like, oh, were the first ones to play my music. And I'll never forget that, because it was like with a lot of like going into like labels and stuff like that. It was a lot of, we don't know what your demographic would be. And like, is it, you know, you make gay club music. And it was kind of in a bad way and not in a good way, like to them, because like that wasn't going to make as much money. And that's always really confusing to me, because to me, that's like the coolest thing, right, when people play you in gay clubs.
Right. That's literally all you could ask for. Yeah, like you want all the gays being like, fuck yes, this yes. is the bop. Like,
totally.
What the? Oh, wow. That did that ever kind of affect you in your musical decisions? Like, did you ever find yourself being like, should I go a little bit more one way?
I think if anything, it made me double down on it. Like, it just like whenever someone says that something is like something that I'm passionate about and something that I love, I go harder in that. I go harder in that direction. And I feel like, so that honestly gave me like so much like will to like prove that there's people who will come to my shows and that I can have a big song and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and we can sell, bitch. We won a Grammy.
Yeah, we can totally. We won a Grammy. Sell. We had number one.
When you're saying you're in these clubs, do you remember any like early fun stories for us of like memories from performing in these clubs that have stuck with you, of like just iconic moments for yourself in your career?
Signing dicks is one of them.
that must be, yeah, that's pretty up there. That's pretty good.
Totally, like doing my fans poppers on stage, hitting weed pens from my signing weed pens. I signed all kinds of body parts. I hung out with the hottest porn stars. Yeah, like it's wild, and I love it, and I still like every now and then I just like need it. I just need to go to you know, like a warehouse rave and go crazy and do all of that. But yeah, those were like iconic moments, I think. Also, Amanda Lepore being at my first gig. Amanda Lepore is this like New York icon. Just so many iconic people that I've met through clubs.
That is so fucking cool to just be like, that's also how your career started, of like basically you're just having fun partying and you're singing and everyone loves your music and you're just like, yeah, thriving. But I wonder, do you ever, yeah, I was gonna say, do you miss that? Because then you're like standing on stage and it's a little bit more formal.
Yeah,
and there's some more choreograph.
I do miss it a little bit. I miss mostly going to clubs undetected. I can go to straight clubs now undetected, but I can't go to gay clubs anymore without taking a million photos. And I party, you know, I feel like I really love to, you know, just party and not think about how I look. And, you know, that might be not the, you know, I'm like sweaty and red in all the pictures. And so that's put a little bit of like pressure on it. But like, I feel like I've figured out my like disguises and stuff like that. And yeah, honestly, like I need like a fake beard and like,
oh yeah,
that'd I feel good. Like that'd be really yeah. good.
Like a little short haircut, crew neck, little wig.
Totally.
Maybe like red, or maybe that's too much attention. Maybe a yeah. black sunglasses, yes. huge mustache.
Totally, a detransition moment.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Just for us to come back. Yeah. Like, I don't like this. I am actually interested too, growing up in Germany, like what is the difference between nightclubs in Germany versus nightclubs in America?
Ooh, I think it goes way later in Germany. I think people are down to be there until the morning, which is fun, especially if you like think about like Berlin and like Berghain and all that stuff. It's definitely, and there's more techno, there's weirder music in general. It's just like a lot of electro music. I would say house music is huge.
Do you prefer American clubs or German clubs?
Ooh, they both have their, you know, pros and cons. Yeah. I think in general, like now, like American clubs, because like I need to actually be up the next day and do stuff.
Right. I always, when I was younger, was like, I was liking going out late. But now as I get older, I'm like, why can't we start at 5 o'clock?
I know.
Start raging and go to bed by midnight. And we can do the same shit. We can drink the same, like, we can do all the same shit.
I endorse this. Right? I endorse this idea. Like, I love, like, starting early now and just, like, waking up the next day not completely fucked. Like,
completely.
Yeah.
Because in your next, like, 48 hours, you're just not a human being functioning in the world.
Yeah.
And I can't afford to do that with this career, this yeah, life. Yeah, you know?
Totally. You can't. Okay. And me neither. Like, we have to, like, do shit now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So American clubs, just because it's a little bit more responsible in terms of our timing.
Yes.
If we're trying to have a good time, let's go to Germany.
Definitely. I think people in general just like go a little more crazy there.
Got it. What is your favorite song of yours to hear played in a club?
Oh, my favorite song of mine to play in a club. Treat Me Like a Slut. Yeah. I have this record called Slut Pop, which is all just like my sluttiest self and just only saying the most ridiculous sex shit there is, which was so freeing and fun to make. And honestly, like, I feel like all my coolest fans, like, that's their favorite. So yeah, Treat Me Like a Slut.
I love that answer so much. And we're gonna talk about Slut Pop in a little
bit.
Amazing.
Because
it's truly iconic. And it's Call Her Daddy. Something very cool about your career is the fact that you are self-made. You have been doing this since you were super young. You were teaching yourself how to write and how to produce in your bedroom. Where do you think that drive came from?
Honestly, from being excluded from social life. I feel like no one really got me, you know, in my like small town in Germany, because I'm not technically from Cologne even, which is already kind of a small city. I was like 2 hours outside, like countryside, cows, grass. And I just, I loved music. That was kind of the one thing that I would always do, like always listen to music on repeat, and pop music in particular. And I would just harmonize and make my own little concepts and things like that. So I think it's just something that comes like natural to me. But then I would just like sit down in my room and just really every single day, because I didn't like school. I wasn't very good in school. I wasn't horrible in school, but I was like okay in school. And I was just like, I'm going to be the next biggest hit songwriter. And that's a skill I can work on every single day. And yeah. And then I got into writing jingles for like commercials and trying to write for other artists, pitching songs. And yeah, I really feel like that is just like my savior, is that I'm able to write music. Oh. Yeah.
It's so inspiring to hear you talk, obviously, about like there's a lot of people that can probably relate to you, of like being really isolated when you're younger, not feeling like you're fitting in, and just like trying to find an escape, which you clearly found the best escape for yourself and it worked out. What would you say to your younger self, that like Kim sitting in her room alone, just being like kind of isolated and getting picked on?
Live a little. I would say that. I was like really like a maniac, just like only working. And I feel like my whole teen years, like I didn't go to like parties. I was like just like just fully focused. And so I would tell myself to live a little, and that things are going to happen when they're supposed to happen, and that it's all going to, you know, work out, and that it's okay to go with your friends, and it's okay to try and have a social life, because like the answer isn't always just like, well, they all hate me, so I just got to be by myself and like be this like studio goblin. You know, I can actually also just, yeah. But also it was a little bit of a different time. I mean, that was like so long ago now. I legitimately didn't know anyone else trans. And, you know, so I was an internet kid. I would just find people online who I could talk to and things like that. Yeah.
That's why, like, the internet is, I hate it and love it, because you're so right. Like, I remember when I was younger, like, YouTube, I would find, like, anything that you were going through, if you were alone, you could find someone somewhere on the internet on YouTube.
Who loves the same shit. Yeah.
And so there's, like, a saving grace, obviously, of you saying, like, I didn't know anyone trans. I was by myself going through it. And I know you've been open, like your family was very supportive of you. Mm-hmm. But still, even when like your parents are like, we got you, it's like, okay, mom, dad, like, love you, but like, I like, I need people my own fucking age to relate to and to connect to.
Totally.
So I appreciate you sharing that. I know you've also been really open in your gender journey from a very young age, that like you said at one point you felt very boxed in and labeled, and that everything became about being trans and you just wanted to be seen as a person.
Yeah.
Which I can imagine, it's like in every single interview, you're like, I'm an artist, but so many people want to also talk to you about being trans. Yeah. Where are you now in your career and your journey of having your own identity and accepting yourself, but also like putting boundaries of like, we don't need to talk about every fucking thing every single time.
Yeah. I feel like it's a unique situation. So I like to talk about it now, because I feel like it's something where, it's just like a unique point of view, and I think it comes in as my strength sometimes that I get to write from that perspective, because like that's always just going to be a big part of me, that I am trans, and I think that gives me in songwriting like such an interesting angle. And I think what's so special about music is that it's like, when I came to America and started going to studios, it really didn't matter who I was. It just mattered, like, am I good? Is my songwriting good? Can I sing? You know? And I feel like the more art that I get to put out and the more music I get to make, the more I become an artist rather than, you know, all the labels that people put on me. And it's not just a trans thing. I mean, it's like, if you're a woman and you make music, people just talk about you being a woman in music, or you being a gay man in music, or all of that stuff. You know, we all just get boxed into this label that defines us. And I think trans people in general are a good reminder that gender and all of that stuff is just a label, and it really is all about who you are inside, and not about all the stuff. You know, just because you're this doesn't mean you have to like this or do this. And totally. Gender is a thing that matters a lot less, I think, and says a lot less about people than we think.
Totally.
And you are whatever you want to be and whatever's in your mind. And yeah,
no, I love it. No, it's so true, because it's like, when you break it down, it's like, just let everyone do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Yeah.
And it's stop trying to just talk about people in one specific way. No one would be happy if the roles were reversed and you're just saying one thing about someone. We're all very multifaceted.
Totally. And every person is their own thing, you know, completely. Totally. And I feel like just more than ever, I'm just trying to, you know, show people what's in my mind, what you know, what my music is about, what I stand for. Mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, all the just talking about being trans all the time.
Completely. Totally. I think your accomplishments, I mean, we could go through them all, but they speak for themselves. Like, you've really popped off in an unbelievable way. You've had such an incredible career already. What a full circle moment that one of your biggest idols, Madonna, introduced your performance at the Grammys. What is it about Madonna that inspires you?
Well, I think Madonna is someone who broke a lot of these like gender stereotypes, and who can be very, you know, masculine in some of her music and talk about sex very freely and in a very different way, and just like was so ahead of her time in like liberating people from feeling this shame about their sexuality, and especially gay people. I mean, she did that shit in the 90s when it was really, really rough for gay people, and I will forever just like feel inspired and liberated by her taking the hit for so many people, because she really, you know, was called like a witch and like all this crazy stuff for just talking about her sexuality and just being so all out there. And I respect that in someone. If they can be so, if they can let that bounce off of them and like, well, I am still going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. I'll never forget, like right before the performance, right before, because there was a little break because it cuts to me. She had like a little whip and she was like mouth to me, like, go get it, bitch. And like whipped her little whip. And I was like, I was like literally just, and I was tied up in this cage. So I like couldn't say anything back. It was like arms up. Like,
picturing you trying to like give her the nod and you're like, I wish I could
like,
hug
what
you.
What do I do? Do I like do a kick? Like,
thanks for totally. The whole cage falls over. You're like, dude, that is picturing you like fully tied up, just being like, like, do I wink? Do I wink?
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, I so agree with everything you're saying about Madonna. It's so crazy to look back at certain eras where we were so young and watching, like, every generation has it where there's certain people that just become essentially the people that are breaking down barriers in, and in that generation, I know so many people were like, Madonna's crazy, like she should be taken off air, like she shouldn't be able to do this. And yet what people didn't understand is she was having such a needed conversation and allowed the next generation of performers to lean even further into it because she did what she did. Yeah. And it's so cool that you now can be on fucking stage trying to give her a wink or whatever.
No, totally. It's so freaking cool. And like what she said too, because like I think she was saying that she was supposed to like do like the record of the year or something like that, and she said she wanted to introduce the first trans performer at the Grammys, and like I was like, oh, you really are the coolest to ever exist, you
the
know?
Coolest.
Yeah.
Didn't you meet her for the first time drunk at an SNL after party?
Yes, she came to the SNL after party. And
how drunk were you?
I was so obliterated. I just kept talking her like ear off about Confessions on the Dance Floor, and I was like, that's one of the best like albums ever. It's a timeless classic, and like people don't really like appreciate it enough. And like, blah, blah, blah. And when he did this on Ray of Light, it was like the most, it changed my life. I was listening to it, I felt like so much less alone. And like I was just talking her ear off. She was like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then she was like, we should take a picture. And I was like, thank you so much for saying that, because I would have just talked her fucking ears off for hours.
Yeah, she's like, sweetie, let's just pose so you can catch a breath.
I know, okay? I know. I'm she must think God. I'm insane.
No, no. I bet she gets that all the time. And also it's just it's so genuine. That's also just so iconic though, for you to be like hammered at a party being like, Madonna, like, yeah. I love you. We love you, Madonna.
I love you so much.
Okay, Kim, we're gonna play a game.
Let's play this game.
We're gonna play Would You Rather.
Okay.
Some of these are really fucking random, so don't judge me.
Okay, I love it.
Okay. Would you rather accidentally post a nude on your Instagram or butt dial your parents during sex?
Post a nude on my Instagram. I feel like I have no, like, decency left anyways. Like, you can find nudes of me anywhere. So,
I was going to say, yeah, I feel like
I have my tits out at every shoot. Like, it's like,
yeah,
at this point, I'd rather do a nude because, like, I feel like calling my parents during sex would be disturbing for them.
Mm-hmm. And for you after when you relive.
Definitely.
Because also how bad to find out that you butt dialed them, but you figure out after, so you're replaying, like, what was I saying during sex? Like, how nasty was that sex? Like, what was I doing? Like, what were the noises? Like, just my dad couldn't see me the same. My mom couldn't see me. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, terrifying. Great. So rather post a nude. Love that. I agree. Would you rather go a month without sex or a month without music?
A month without sex, I'm definitely there. Yeah, I'm okay. So single. And, like, honestly, like, I've just been so busy. Like, there's no hope right now. But it's, like, okay. Like, I'm very happy. The thing is, like, the music almost acts like a, like, as that, like, excitement mm-hmm. and, like, that crush that I'm obsessed with. Because I can just, like, listen to it again and again and again and, like, get really obsessed and, like, change little details about it. And, like, all the little crushes I have on the side always end up in the music. So I, like, I make it and then listen to them and think of them and how they're not with me.
Wait, I kind of, that's and, actually great
how
because
I can't have them.
Right. And you can like re-listen to your music all the time in like a not stalkery way that you're like not over texting the person. You're just re-listening to your music.
I'm not like re-watching their stories. Right. I just listen to the song I wrote about them a million times.
I think that's a great, great answer. I know you love horror movies. Yes. And I know you love Halloween. So Would you rather never be able to watch a scary movie again or never be able to dress up for Halloween?
Oh,
this is like mean.
I mean, Halloween is gay Christmas, you know, it's like, it's so, so in me. I think, but never watch a horror movie again.
I know.
That would be a, okay, Halloween is just once a year. I would like, you know, just like shut my doors, be a total witch in the hills, like see no one, and pretend like Halloween doesn't exist and watch horror movies.
Yeah.
So I would pick that.
And then you can just go dress up another time of the year.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. I like that. Would you rather fuck someone who is absolutely silent or someone who screams the whole time?
Someone who screams the whole time. Okay. At least I know that they're into it, you know, like, but silence would just throw me off.
Right, like, at least you know they're there.
Yeah, totally. It would just make me feel like they don't want this to happen, and that would really be...
I've had, like, some hookups where the guy is so quiet, and I'm like, I just need, like, a couple grunts. Like,
I know, me too.
Give me, like, a light fuck, like, oh, fuck, like,
I know, I hate that. I hate that, like, a lot of guys are, like...
Two in the zone.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna make any noises, man. Like,
right.
Come on, just do it.
Just like, let it go.
Totally, let it go. It's, like, honestly hot.
I agree.
Yes.
Would you rather never give head again or never receive head again?
Never receive head again. Giving head is, like, the funnest thing of my life. Honestly, like, it's so fun.
We're gonna get into the throat goat, but
yes, yes.
Don't worry, we're getting there. But would you rather accidentally bite someone's dick giving a blowjob or throw up on it?
Oh, it's, it's such a rough one. I feel like accidentally bite, I mean, it's not defined how hard it has mm-hmm. to be, you know. Maybe mm-hmm. it can just be a little tooth.
Right, like a little snaggle tooth.
Yeah, like just a tiny bit toothy right. is better than throwing up, because I don't think I could work that out in therapy.
Right, right. Like, it would have to be the kind of throw up where, because I've had that before, where you basically do throw up, but you suck it all back up before it leaks.
In that case,
extra lube. Anything.
Free lube.
Chunky lube. Oh my god. Okay.
I want a chunky lube t-shirt.
Chunky lube t-shirt. They're That's like, what good. Does that mean? On the back, throw up.
That's my brand I'm going to make.
So chunky good. Lube. So yeah. good. Would you rather have drunk sex or high sex?
High sex.
Me too. So much better.
So good.
Would you rather be in the Mile High Club or fuck in someone's car?
Someone's car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like planes are like... Plain bathrooms are just gross.
Yeah,
like,
disgusting.
I totally, but I respect it. Like, yeah. I have some, like, friends, and, like, especially, like, my gay friends that I, like, travel with. They're like, yeah, I sat next to the hot guy, and then we fucked. And, like, I'm just, like, in my pod, like, with, like, my eye mask on, and, like, you know.
It's not sexy, and, like, I think maybe the allure could be, like, ooh, you have to be quiet and hide it. I don't really want to have to do that. I'd rather be in the car just, like, using the seatbelt, like, choke me out, let's go, let's yes. have a good time, like, let's totally. Get weird.
Yeah,
okay, good.
I feel like cars are just in general like such a good spot, like being in a car with a boy, and
yeah, and they can move to what's happening. It gives a little like, yeah, it gets a little foggy. Yes. There's a lot of good
Titanic.
Things. Exactly. Titanic. Both of us grabbing for it. Let's talk about your dating life. You said, you know, you're in a little dry spell, and we love that. So you're not yeah. dating anyone?
No, I'm not dating anyone.
Are you interested in dating at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in it, but honestly, I feel like it's been something that's just like I'm good without mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've always been a relationship girl. Like, I love a relationship. I'm not like a quick hookup girl, even though like sometimes, you know, I don't have a choice. Like, sometimes I have like boys in different cities, like that I can just call up in every city. That's a fun thing to be on.
Kim.
Because I know
you got your road beef.
I know my road beef. Yeah, no, that's good. But just right now, I just feel like I don't know who would like fit into my crazy life right now.
Yeah,
because I'm just like always doing shit and always traveling, and I'm never in the same space for long enough to even like really, you know, do something meaningful.
I was gonna say, yeah, like what is dating life like now as a pop star compared to like maybe a couple years ago where yeah. you still had like a little anonymity?
Yeah, it's really changed, and I feel like people are just in general like a little scared of me now, which is kind of good, you know. It just like weeds them out. Like, you have to just like say that you want me now.
Right.
Or I don't have time for you. You know, my clog just slipped.
The full clog. It felt like it was 500 pounds. We just hit the floor. Oh, you're like, I don't have time for you. Boom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So like, yeah. Does that make you sad a little bit that you think like, do you think people are seeing a persona of yours?
Yeah.
And then you have to like deconstruct it and be like, I'm not really always like that.
Yeah. I think in general, like slut pop really changed how guys see me, because like I feel like a lot of the guys that I'm dating have heard slut pop and like know that, and they're like, you know, and it's like, yeah, I'm the girl who sings Throat Goat, you know, and it's like, yes. And they just feel like they have to like live up to this crazy expectation, and
I get that.
That's like not, you know, it's like such a persona for that record that it's like that's not me, you know. I'm also someone who just like wants to watch horror movies with you and like cuddle and be cute and
totally
all of that, and I like the last thing I want is for you to be scared of me.
Right.
So if you're scared of me, I'm immediately cutting you off, because that makes me feel horrible about myself, you know.
Yeah, I get that,
because like I'm just like a genuine person, and I really feel like I'm, but I have crushes on the wrong guys like all the time.
Really? What do you have a type?
I don't really. I feel like every single guy is like is very different. Mm-hmm. I think the type that I have is just like the energy being good and them being funny, being honest, being like loyal. I think that's like the big ones for me. And just like I like sweet guys. Aww. I like when you're sweet, you know.
But you just said you're picking some of the wrong guys. So
yeah.
What's going on?
So the not sweet guys. Yeah, I don't know. Just guys who like keep me like dangling, or think they have to constantly like do stuff to, you know, keep me obsessed with them. Then I'm on the road and like then you don't talk to me and then I'm back. It's just like, yeah.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Do you let your friends set you up with people or no?
I do. Yeah. I went on a date with a guy who my friend set me up with recently. Oh. Didn't really go anywhere, but it was fun, because like sharing similar friends, you can at least talk about the friends.
True.
You know, you can just like
talk
she's
about
them. She's so cool. Yeah. She's the best. Like,
you have a commonality to talk about.
Yeah.
So you're not like, how's your drink?
Yeah.
You could be like, Rebecca's a bitch, right?
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I let my friend set me up for sure.
When was your last relationship?
My last relationship was like 1.5 years ago.
Okay.
And that was like a 5-year relationship.
Wow.
So like a long one. So I feel like I'm still like anyway at the part where like I need to like be myself, get
yes.
over that relationship and all the stuff that did to me, because it wasn't like a very nice relationship. Mm-hmm. And made me feel awful about myself for a few years.
Oh.
And that's the worst. I should have like cut it off when I felt it. But yeah, I, you know, it was the first time I broke up with someone. And thank you.
Yes, queen.
And the first time that I just really feel like I did the right thing and listened to my intuition and got out of it. And I know a lot of people who don't get out of relationships that don't fulfill them, and they're almost like a new person when they get out of it. Like, it's like, oh my god, you're back, and you know, like you're like yourself again and you're happy again. And so that's my main thing. I never want to, you know, I mean, and no one wants to.
Yeah.
But just I really don't want to be in any relationship that doesn't make me feel good and
yes.
feel great, you know, because I'm such a pleasing person. And like I feel like I always used to just like, I just want you to be happy and I don't care if I'm happy.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing. And I think that goes back to me as a kid, as a teen. Like, I just hope one day like a guy can see me as a girl or show me any attention, you know, and like see me as a normal person, not as a freak, you know. Yeah. I think it goes back to that, me just wanting to, you know, well, he likes me, so I'm gonna do anything for him.
Right.
And like completely forget that I have value as a person.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's so relatable, Kim. And like, I also love how you were like, oh my god, I should have gotten out earlier, but I'm so happy I did get out. I think so
yes.
many times we're so hard on ourselves, because when you're so deep in something, it's really hard to actually make the jump to envision life, even if it's toxic, without that person, because you've been living in it for so long. You
yeah.
have your routines that still is the person that you're with all the time, and like you just become so attached to something that you almost forget like what life was like before them. And a lot of times it was so much better.
Totally.
And it's hard, but it's hard to get out.
It's really hard, but it's like you're gonna live and it's gonna be okay, and you're gonna figure
yes.
it out again. You're gonna get back into it. And
yeah.
honestly, life, like, on your own sometimes can be so much more, like, purposeful and fulfilling. I feel like really I personally, like, thrive when I have, like, time by myself where I just literally do whatever. It's like recharging. And I think in general, like, I wish I would have done that in my relationship more. And I feel like relationships are the hardest thing to figure out. They really are.
They're really hard.
But right now I'm having fun. And that's awesome. And I feel like I'm just like finally like back at the place where I like love being alone and spending time by myself and where I just shut my door and just do whatever.
Amazing. What is your perfect ideal first date?
I don't think there is one. I really think that first dates are always going to be a little awkward. And like, I just like, you know, I feel like my first thing I do is probably try to drink because I'm so nervous. I get really, really nervous. And it's such an awkward thing when like, you know, that you like technically are attracted to each other, but like you have to like figure it out. Yes. Do a little dance. But I feel like in general, just doing something like active, like going to like an arcade or going the fun stuff.
Yes, doing something so you're not just sitting across the table being like, hello.
Totally.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Where you can actually do something.
Yes.
But I also like, I like when you show me like one of your favorite places that you actually like, actually love going instead of like, I want to try out this new place. Like, just show me like, where do you actually go?
What are we doing, Kim? Are we fucking on the first date? Are we waiting? Like, do you have any rules in your head or do you just do whatever the fuck comes to you?
I live in the moment. I've definitely done the first date, you know, fuck. But I think it's usually when I do that, like, I'm then like not interested anymore. It's like, yeah, I feel like it's just like, I need to like give it time and like, I need to be like obsessed with you and like, you're like, I need to let it simmer for a bit more. I realize now, because like once I broke up, I would just like go home with like every single one of them every time, and it was really, really fun. I had a great time, you know. But I feel like when you really give it time, it just makes it more special and cooler.
I love Kim's out here breaking everyone's hearts, like gives them the best sex after date one, and then you literally just ghosting everyone. You're like, nah. You're like, I was happy, that was great, but I'm over it. On to the next.
Yeah, well, I'm just like in the next city.
Right. You're gone. You're gone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's I've never heard someone say that. You're over it once you have sex the first time and you're just like, that's boring. Okay.
I mean, maybe it was just the guys. Right. Maybe it was just a situation. I don't like to like make a rule in general.
Totally.
I think just like the guys like I went home with, I was just like, I just needed like rebound attention.
Totally.
And so I just like, totally. Yeah. And then I was like,
So I get it. Growing up, who was your celebrity crush?
Legolas in Lord of the Rings. Like
Kim,
that wig.
No, Kim, let me tell you something. Three of the people that I like, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Number one, Johnny Depp, specifically as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, Legolas. Orlando Bloom, specifically as the elf in Lord of the Rings.
Hot.
The hair and the ears, and then Edward Cullen as vampire. But I'm like, wait, what? Are we like weirdos that we're like specifically as an elf?
Yeah, no, specifically as an elf. Yeah, in the wig as that character.
He was so hot.
I know. It was so hot. Like, because I totally, I don't know. That was just like, I remember like having a poster of him and like just being so obsessed with him. And I will forever be obsessed with him. I'm going to be honest.
Me too. But you must think.
But
like,
just Legolas. Only like person.
No.
Yeah.
His name is Orlando Bloom. And I bet Orlando Bloom never thought, like, of all the roles that I've ever played, everyone in the world's like the hottest version of you.
The hot elf, baby.
Hot elf. Yeah. Legolas. No, I'm not kidding. If you guys have. Actually, I feel like if you don't have the context, like if you just Google him, you may all be like, you guys are freaks. Watch the movie because the context is important. He's just so like, I don't even remember. He's just great. His vibe is great.
He's hot. So good.
But he looks amazing.
Yeah, and he looks amazing. He looks stunning.
I have to be honest, I really never thought that I would sit across from someone in my entire career and have someone say the same thing that I think of Legolas, Elf, Orlando Bloom. I'm like, what the fuck?
And that's why we're unhinged.
Here we go. That's why we're here.
And that's why we're here.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Dottie Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Let's go to Slut Pop. Okay, yes. You've been mentioning it, but now we got to talk about it. You coined the term slut pop to describe your music. Can you define slut pop for those who may be becoming fans today?
Yes. Slut pop is this really Euro house dance 90s inspired EP. And me and my friends would always make pop songs that were slightly slutty and say, oh, it was slut pop. And so I just decided to go with it and make an EP and just be the most slutty version of myself that I could wish I could be in life. You know, but I feel like I'm too shy to be that all the time. So yeah, I just kind of let it all out on that one. And a lot of people were really had interesting reactions to it. And I think it's the funnest thing in the world to scream out the most obscene shit and just be like, I'm a fucking slut, fuck me. You know, it's just, it's so freeing. Every time I do it, it's addicting. And yeah, I recommend to check it out. It's just...
What are some of your craziest lines? That if people haven't heard it, it's like, give them a little something.
Okay. These bitches can't suck like me. Walk in, I'm the sucking queen. Look around, all eyes on me. Jack it off, I'm a suck it clean. What's my name? I'm the throat goat. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is poetic. It's beautiful. It's touching.
To me, it's pure beauty. You know, if you are, you know, you might not get it. You might get it.
But if you get it, yeah, you really get
Treat
it.
Me like a slut, little dirty bitch. I love to fuck.
It's so good, Kim. Other than your own catalog, what's a song or an artist that you would also classify as like slut pop?
Ooh, Britney Spears' Blackout Era. That, yes, it's just the best. Oh, so like dirty and
full,
like,
slut pop.
Hot. Yeah, full. That was definitely a huge inspiration for that. I also think that Kylie Minogue has a bunch of songs that I would put on slut pop.
Dude, I'm thinking about how you kind of said like people after slut pop, like people were kind of intimidated by you because it's like, yeah, you're coming in here being like, I am the throat goat, like I like, and all this shit. When did you actually start to just become really confident about talking about sex?
I think in general when I made that, I think I was just like in a phase of my life where I felt like I was like a little you know, just not talking about that part of my life enough. Mm-hmm. And I have so many friends, and especially as a trans girl, it's like, that are sex workers. I, you know, porn is great. Porn, like, sex work is work. And it was a moment where OnlyFans was going to ban sex workers from its platform, which would have taken away, like, the livelihood of a lot of my friends. And so I was like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I think that, like, everybody needs to stop like villainizing sex workers, because there's a huge demand for it. We need it, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. And I also always think, you know, if my life hadn't gone the way it did and I hadn't like been able to transition really early and stuff like that, I would have probably, you know, done that to be able to transition and to be able to be myself. So I wanted to take the shame out of it for my friends, for myself. And I think just in general, people need to be less afraid of it. And I think especially women and girls, there's so much power in like loving sex. And like, you should love it. You should figure out what you like about it, and not be, you know, please men. Like, that's not the goal. In sex, it's like, you having a good time. And so I'm just a huge supporter of that. And that's been something that's been hard for me to figure out, you know, because like I have always just been like crazy for guys and like, how can I please him in any way? And once I kind of broke out of that, I was like, it's about me too. And yeah, so.
I love also that I had actually someone recently ask me, this reporter was like, I, back in the day of Call Her Daddy, came up with this thing called the Gluck Gluck 9000. And it was just like, you know, my go-to blowjob move. And I remember this reporter being like, you know,
it's so good.
It's so good. It's so good. And I remember the reporter being like, you know, if you're a feminist, like, then like, are you ashamed that you coined that term and that you were teaching young girls how to give blowjobs? And I was like, absolutely not. Because of course, there are certain things in the past that I was like probably way too appeasing of a man. But yeah, specifically with that, it's like I just go to say like I love pleasing my partner. Like,
hell yes.
That doesn't mean you can't be a feminist if you're like, no, I also love giving my fiance head and like making him feel good. That's part of sex. And that gets me off by also making sure my partner is, yeah, having a good fucking time. So it's like, we need to talk about the throat goat, because as much as we're like, girls enjoy sex, it's also like you can also be down, and pleasing your partner is also a part of enjoying sex.
1,000,000%.
It's not just a one-off situation where you're just like by yourself. Well, you can do it by yourself.
But
when you're with a partner, can you talk about the throat goat? Can you talk about, give us some tips. Give us a couple little, you know, Kim, just give us like one little thing, maybe like a little, like, what are
I
we
do,
doing?
I pull out the bottle and
yeah,
like Anita did.
Yeah.
There
you go.
That was iconic. Yeah. What did she do? She went.
She was like, you do this. And then she said, yeah, wear the Invisalign on your
bottle. Yes, wear Invisalign. I want to try that.
I know. I'm like calling my dentist and I'm like, I just need a bottom Invisalign. They're like, bitch, your teeth are fine. I'm like, no, just the bottom.
It's the funnest thing. Like, I love giving blowjobs. It's my favorite thing in the world. I pride myself in it. And I think that's awesome.
It's all on you. Like, your center stage. It's your, yeah, time to shine.
It's literally your time to shine. And, like,
it's like, watch me go.
Eye contact. Like, that's a very important one. And I don't know. It's just, like,
a little sloppy. Boy,
I love when boys really like that, you know, and really, yeah.
It's like, I have to go. Is it getting hot in here? No, I love it. And I think it's, again, I just like that we're talking about it, because it doesn't, there's nothing wrong with enjoying and pleasing your partner.
No.
And I think sometimes to all, you know, the people out there, it's like, if you are intimidated by it, you have to just reframe the way that you're thinking about it. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to, it's playful. It's enjoyable.
Like, yeah. And if you don't enjoy it, that's fine too. You know,
totally.
Find the things that you really love. Mm-hmm. For me, I love giving head, yep. You know, and I call myself the throat goat and have been called that
too. Oh like, and that wasn't coined just by myself, thank you, goodbye.
Thank you.
Would you say you're more dominant or submissive in the bedroom?
I'm pretty subby. Yeah, I'm pretty subby.
Love
like,
it.
But like, I gotta really like trust someone, and like, if you really like me to dom, I will do it. I like when someone can give me a really specific, like, this is what I like.
Direction,
like, do,
yeah,
this. Like, I love that. And maybe that's why I'm subby, because I just like, I like in those situations to be told what to do and just to like do that.
Love it.
But yeah, but also I feel like I swing both ways.
Love it. Love it. When you say treat me like a slut, what do you actually want your partner to do, Kim?
fuck me. I don't know. Bend me over. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to a little choking. Mm-hmm. All that good stuff. Just put me into position and go.
I love how you just pushed your glasses so I could. You're like, goodbye. I'm not making eye contact with you right now. Bend me over, put me in position. Let's go. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, mm-hmm, good.
This is great.
Yeah, but I think in general, just like, make me feel like you really want me, mm-hmm, bad, mm-hmm, and need me. You know, like, oh, that's the hottest thing you can do.
Okay. On a, just quickly on a little bit more serious note. Ooh. You're like, oh, girl, don't go there.
out of nowhere.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Like, I got back in a car. It's awesome. But seriously.
Yeah, maybe I should have, like, this is, like, a little too aggressive of a transition, I just realized. But
no, I love it.
Okay. obviously everything that's going on with trans rights right now in America, I just felt like it wouldn't be right if I didn't ask you. Obviously, it's disgusting what's happening and we're clearly regressing. How are you handling the hateful backlash for, you know, with the trans community?
Well, I feel like I need to hold it up for all the young kids that are trans and getting, you know, their rights taken away and all of that stuff that they're, you know, I try to find the best causes to help. I try to stay in touch with all my trans friends and all of that. But just in general, I think it's brutal how people treat trans people. It's just like everybody deserves to live their lives how they can, you know, and the way that they know how to get through life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the judgment around it is still so intense and scary. And there's so much like actual like murder and things like that in the trans community that are really, really terrifying. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful community. And that's the one thing that I just like want people to know, like the dolls have each other's backs, like we love each other. And I feel like there's so many trans friends of mine that like, I couldn't live life without, that are such like beautiful lights. And just remember that and find the people who get you and who support you, and focus on that, because I still get called a man every single day, you know, like, and that's okay. It's funny to me at this point. I'm like, oh, I'm a man, you know, because like I feel like I've been called like that since I was 12 and all of that. So to me, it's like, brush it off at this point. But I know how like horrible that situation can be. And there's just a very public like hate campaign on trans people right now that's disappointing and sad, but there's also a lot of people who really care and who really are pushing, and just know that like it's an up and down swing with trans rights, like it has been with gay rights, like it has been with anyone who's different than the norm. And it's gonna probably get better and swing back around, at least that's what I hope. But in general, know that like there's amazing people out there who have all got your back and who think you're really beautiful, and you deserve everything. You deserve love. You deserve to be seen to who you really truly are, and don't settle for anything less. I've done it and it sucks. And yeah, I love y'all.
Oh my God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let everyone live however they want to fucking live.
I know. It's so annoying.
It's just like, so crazy, like the progress we've made in some areas that we're still having these conversations, and it's so infuriating
to look at. I mean, especially in America, it goes with like, you know, birth control and things like that. It's the same exact kind of thing where there's just people trying to tell people what they can and can't do with their bodies, and it's wrong, and no one ever should. And it really like makes it so much harder for people to just like live their lives and make their own decisions. And it's just so annoying that our bodies are still being policed by people, and
it's truly insane. But I do think we are so fortunate that we can sit here and you can use your music and I can use this show as a platform to just like keep talking about it.
Totally.
I hope anyone that it makes uncomfortable, look inward as to why and like start doing the work. And I think everyone that is supporting, like keep supporting and be vocal and post on social media. And because I think it's so important that we just keep showing we aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone should just be able to do whatever the fuck they want. And we need to get on board with that.
I know. It's really not that hard. It really only is hard to people who need to control other people in life to be comfortable in life. Like, you need to be able to control your woman to live with your ego and shit. And so, you know, because you're too scared, she's going to go in, you know? Yeah.
It's all to maintain their power.
Yes.
And it's like, have your power over there. Let us have our power over here. Fuck off.
Totally.
Bye. But
like,
oh, I mean, we could sit here for fucking hours.
You should tell them that they can't bus anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We're snipping you all. Okay.
Really?
They're like, oh, no. Okay. Do whatever you want. Yeah. Do whatever you want. You take away their nut. They're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Literally.
Do whatever you want.
Never mind. JK.
Oh, my God. Okay. You have a new album coming out.
Yes.
And I'm so excited for you. The album is called Feed the Beast.
Yes.
How did you come up with that?
For me, it started with kind of feed the beat, because I feel like I constantly need to listen to music and just do my thing over beats. And then it turned into feed the beast because I had an album leak and my label told me you got to get back in the studio, make new songs, and go feed the beast. And that was literally like, okay, let me think about this. And then I kind of thought about myself and like my personal ambitions, and I've always wanted to really play the pop game. I've always wanted to make big pop songs and big melodies and be like a real player in the music industry and, you know, do big shows and all of that. And I was like, there was a part of me that was a little ashamed of that for a while. And I was like, but I'm like a gay club darling, and like maybe that's just like all I want and all I want to be. And I was like, no, like my passion is to go for it. So go feed the beast, go feed that, what I feel like almost ashamed of to want.
Yeah.
Go want that and own it and don't be afraid of it. And, you know, so I feel like for me, the album is a reminder, hopefully, to my fans to really find what it is that you can't live without and go all out on it. And don't be afraid to take up space and don't be, you know, scared to make it as massive as you want to make it and as ridiculous as you want to make it. And go feed that.
Kim, how is this album different than past work that you've done?
I think I just had it like a shift creatively where I just like kind of was a bitch to my co-writes and took more control and was like, I just really came in with like full songs fleshed out again, kind of like I did in the very beginning before people like wanted to work with me. I just came in with fully fleshed concepts and then just was like, we're writing this. And I feel like I really took control. I worked with some people I've never worked with before. I did a bunch in Sweden. I did a bunch in London. So it really feels like that like major label really executed on the best level of my abilities. And I'm really grateful to my label for allowing me to do that and for allowing me to take the time to really make something that feels whole and complete and that feels this exciting, because I think you're going to freak when you hear it.
I am so excited. Where is the perfect place to listen to this album? Like, are we doing it at the club? Are we working out? Are we having sex? Are we on the beach? Like, what's the vibe?
In a car getting fucked.
Literally.
All of those places. I think that's the funnest thing about this. I think it has a lot of club moments, but it does have a ballad, which is like kind of an unconventional ballad, which I'm excited for people to hear because like never really do that. Like I'm very against ballads usually. Like I love like Celine Dion, but I didn't think I could do that stuff.
Right, here she comes.
Here I come. I think you can really listen to it from front to back by yourself getting ready in the bathroom. You can listen to it in the club. You can all of that stuff. So I think it's an overall so listening good. Thing. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you and for
thank you.
This summer, are you going on tour? What are we
later this year, like a little after summer, and now it's going to be up. I'm going on tour. And I'm so so excited to go on tour because like it's been a freaking while and it's my favorite thing in the world, and like I missed it like nothing else in the world. And so I'll just be traveling. I'm doing a bunch of really cool festivals like all over the world and putting this tour together. I'm like in rehearsals a lot, which is like my happy place. I love being with my dancers and just figuring out the show and the lighting and every detail. Lots of outfit changes. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I want to see the outfits.
Yes.
I am so happy I got to sit down with you today. I've been wanting to do this for so long. And you are like,
I listen to you all the time. So it's been an honor to be here.
Thank you. No, like you truly have such an energy about you that you're so calm and a vibe. And like,
thanks.
But you're like everything. It's just so fun to be able to like sit with you and actually get to know your personality, because you are so so sweet and funny and amazing, and I can't wait to see what you do with your career. This is amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming, Kim.
You're the best. Thank you, Daddy Gang.
What?
The
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.